We're in the garage. I'm in the very far back corner away from the alley. And that's when two guys came in the garage with guns to rob us.
Hey gang, John Correa is so proud to be a brand ambassador for Heckler & Koch Pistols. They're not a sponsor per se, but they have helped us out so much. The whole team, we just drag our HKs around the country to training, to the ASP conference, and we just know that no matter how poorly we treat them, they're going to go bang whenever we need them to. They're incredibly reliable, and they're a joy to shoot. And Paddle magazine release. Please visit them at hk-usa.com, hk-usa.com, and tell them the ASP podcast sent you. Well, all right, everyone. Welcome back to the Active Self-Protection Podcast. I'm yet again your host, Mike Williver, and I remain your favorite former Fed with us today. A new friend of mine, his name is Jay. Jay is in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. Not directly in Milwaukee, because who would want to do that? He is near Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he's a Packers fan. We're not going to talk about sports. People don't like it when we talk about sports, but at least he's not an Eagles fan. That's the important thing, or a Dallas fan. So we'll let him be on the show. Jay, how are you, sir?
My brother is a Dallas fan. I'm doing great. A little bit tired. Just got back from a run, but you know, doing great otherwise.
So let's talk about that. Kind of describe for the folks what it is you do for a living. You have more than one job, but what's your primary sort of employment?
So at the moment, I drive cross country logistics, hauling stuff halfway across the country, basically. And then I also, for the past 13, 14 years or so, I've been driving tow truck. And for the past four, I've owned my own tow truck company.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it here first. So Jay is married with no kids. And his story is not like any of the other ones we've had thus far. Deals with some what then was quote unquote very illegal behavior and now is legal in some places and not legal in others. So you might guess what I'm talking about, but we'll let him talk more about that. So were you ever, I assume you watch Active Self-Protection videos. Were you back when this went on, were you sort of self-defense minded kind of guy? Was it something you thought about a lot?
So that's a whole entire story in itself. I was and wasn't at the same time. I wouldn't carry weapons or anything because I was a felon. And actually, 1 week after 9/11, it was September 18, 2001, I was in a group home and I was a habitual runaway. And I tried to steal the group home van, drove two blocks, cops got behind me, I pulled over, gave myself up because even though I was a runaway, I never ran from the police. Mm-hmm. That's just a stupid thing to do. And they gave me a felony for that because it was a state-owned group home. So technically, I was stealing from the government.
Oh, boy. Don't do that.
No, not at all. So that that kind of threw a wrench into self-defense when it comes to firearms or anything related to that.
Okay. But we can fast forward to now. You are now a proud firearm owner. How long has that been a thing for you?
About 2.5 years now. It was July of 2021.
Okay.
So is when I got that all taken care of.
So at some point, make sure we talk about this. We have to talk about what this process was like for you to get that done, because I'm sure it wasn't easy to do. But let's go back so let me ask you this. How old were you when you caught that felony charge?
14.
Okay. And was that the felony that prevented you from, you know, say when you turned 21 from buying a gun, or was it something else?
Yes.
Okay.
No, that was it.
Okay. So in the interim, the incident we're going to talk about happened about when? What year was it?
About 7 years ago, about 2016.
Okay. So let's just get right into it. Talk to us about where you were, what you were doing, and what happened.
So it was around this time also, around the October, November time. Mm-hmm. And I was at a friend's house, and I don't personally smoke weed. I don't have any problems with it. I have plenty of family members or friends. They all smoke. It's not, you know, not a problem to me.
Right.
And I was picking up some weed from a friend for a family member. And we were in his garage. And it wasn't like I didn't just go to his house, pick up the weed and leave. I was hanging out. It was a friend, you know. I was actually there for about 3 hours, and we were just hanging out, working on cars and stuff in the garage.
So the weed wasn't the only reason for your trip to see your friend. It wasn't like that's the only reason you were there. Okay.
No, definitely not. It was a friend that I hang out with. I'd say once a week, but not consistently, you know. But it's a friend I talk to on a regular basis. When I'm doing my runs, when I'm driving cross country, I talk to him all the time. So, yeah, it was definitely more than just for picking up the weed. I was helping him work on his BMW and hanging out, making food.
So this was definitely, I mean, was this in Wisconsin? Because Wisconsin still doesn't have legalized marijuana, right? It's still
No, they do not. We're surrounded by all the happy people. Minnesota, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan. I'm pretty sure Indiana. I'm not 100% on that.
Okay.
But they're all legal. Wisconsin has yet to pass it. It's in the Senate or whatever you may call it in Madison up in the Capitol, and they're discussing it, but it hasn't passed yet.
You would think, man, if Madison has anything to do with it, it would have been legal years ago. I'm just guessing based on what I know about
Madison. There's a lot of people that are kind of against it. We have one of the big things is we have a lot of people in jail for minor marijuana charges, possession of anything over an ounce or, you know, possession with intent. And what the lawmakers, I guess you can call them, are scared of is that if it passes, there's going to be a mass exodus from jails for petty marijuana crimes.
Why would that be a problem? I don't even understand the thinking.
It's one of the things that I heard on Fox News here, and I'm just sticking with that.
All right. Well, interesting. So we don't want to dwell too much on the weed part, but that is definitely a part of the story. Excuse me. So at your friend's house, you hung out. You guys worked on his car a little bit, and at some point, you're supposed to grab some marijuana from him and head out. So talk to us about what happened.
So, all right. So we're in a two-car garage, two-and-a-half-car garage. And in Milwaukee, the houses are right next to each other. You can reach out your window and touch your neighbor.
Right.
And so imagine, if you will, if we're in the garage and I'm in the very far back corner away from the alley. Okay. I'm by the toolbox and I'm separating the weed to put in the different bags. Just before this, or let's say 15 minutes before this, we talked about making food. So my buddy I was there with had a pizza on the pizzazz in his kitchen. So, and there's a whole different part to this story because a lot of people are saying different things, but so he went inside to get the pizza because it was done. And that's when two guys came in the garage with guns to rob us. So
let me start. I want to thank you and your friend for fulfilling the marijuana stereotype of having pizza involved. That's good.
Yes.
No Doritos, but that's fine. We'll take pizza. If this was Family Feud, that'd be like the number two answer would be pizza. So we're good.
Definitely. Definitely.
So you say two guys, are you in the garage when this goes on, and kind of describe for me how you're aware? Are they yelling at you, or do you just look up and see a couple guys with guns, mask, no mask? Tell me, describe them for me.
So yeah, definitely. Like I said, I'm in the corner. I'm by one of the toolboxes in the corner, and I'm not facing the alley. I'm facing basically if you're looking into the garage from the alley, I'm in the back to the left.
Okay.
And that's basically where the door to get out of the garage is as well, but it's closed.
Okay.
So I'm there, I'm separating the weed in separate bags, and I hear, hey. And I look to my left, and that's when I seen them. And at that moment, like, my heart dropped, and I got scared because I thought it was the police. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, great. And then once I realized it wasn't the police, I was relieved. And then that's when I noticed the firearms and what they're – this all basically happened in under a second.
Sure.
So I was scared from the police. Then I was relieved it wasn't the police. And then I went to a whole different scared level when I noticed the firearms and realized what they were trying to do.
And how are these guys dressed? Are they look like gangbangers or just regular clothes? And
just all black with the ski masks. So the only thing exposed are their eyes.
Okay.
I could tell they were younger, maybe late teens, early 20s. There was two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So one approached me while the other stayed right at the garage door opening with his firearm pointed at me. And the other one walked up to me, you know, pointing his firearm at me and told me to get on the ground. So the only thing that went through my mind was, well, if I try to do anything to this guy walking to me, the other guy is going to take care of me.
Yeah, they're actually practicing what police call contact and cover pretty well, it sounds like, which means there's someone walking up to you to do whatever. There's somebody at enough of a distance that they can reach out and touch you and hurt you if they want to. So that went through your head. That's actually really good.
Yeah, it did. This isn't the first incident. I've never been robbed before this,
mm-hmm.
but there was two times in the past, once on Sweetest Day, two kids tried to rob me while I was working on a different car on the north side of Milwaukee. And then in my tow truck, I was on the north side and I was attempting to buy a junk vehicle because that's what I do with tow truck. That's I don't do tows. I don't repo people cars. So mm-hmm. I'm not the bad tow truck driver.
Right.
I buy junk vehicles. So they're happy when they see me because they know they're going to get money.
Right.
But that also opens up to the aspect of people trying to rob us because they know we carry cash.
Sure.
So this, like I said, this wasn't the first incident where there was an attempted robbing, but this was the first one where they succeeded.
Okay.
So
they came in. Did you end up getting on the floor?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So they made me lay down face down and I laid on the ground and then that's when the other guy came in. And the one was, I don't know. Obviously, I'm looking straight at the ground. So he was either stepping on my back or kneeling on my back. But one of them, the one that came close to me at first, was either stepping or kneeling on my back while holding the gun fairly close to my head. And the other guy walked up and started going through my pockets, emptied my pockets out. And then I heard him fumbling through the toolbox.
Interesting. Okay.
So basically, the one guy made sure I didn't move or do anything while the other guy took everything.
So, was they taking anything aside from the marijuana?
Yes. I had some cash on me. I had a, this will tell you how long ago it was. It was the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 Edge.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was the Note 4.
So, that would be, hold on, let me think. If I can go backwards in my head to the Samsung models, that would be 1837, I think is about.
Yeah, somewhere. I think 1838, though.
Pre-Civil War era.
You know your phones.
Yeah, actually, no, I am. I geek out on tech stuff. Actually know how long ago, but I remember seeing that in the store. It was this really weird design where it had like one, like the right edge, like curved around the side, and there was like little stuff you could do on there. And yeah, that's funny.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, and I had the cover on it where it covered up the main part of the screen and left the edge exposed.
Yeah, for like quick
so that
quick
if you
task.
Got phone calls or texts or anything, you can see it real quick. Just look inside of the phone.
Nice.
It was nice. I was kind of sad about losing
it. But it got stolen. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah. So yeah, they got some cash off of me. I prefer not to say how much. They got my phone, my wallet. Wallet was the biggest thing that worried me. And then I also had the first Samsung Galaxy watch, and they took that as well.
Man, that's rough. Yeah. So at any point, are you or your friend, either one of you armed with anything at all? Like not even necessarily a gun, nothing?
I mean, there was no pepper spray, no knives, if that's the where you're going with that. But yeah. I was standing in front of the toolbox. But even if I would have had something to attack the guy that walked up to me, as I said, the other guy was standing back with his firearm. So if I would have tried something, I'm sure he would have.
And your friend's inside for this whole thing?
For majority of it, yes.
Okay. So does he come out while they're still there?
Yes. So the garage door was closed, and sometime during the whole ordeal, one of the guys locked the garage door so that nobody could get in.
Hmm.
I don't know if that was just something that they did, or if they knew that I wasn't the only person there, or they didn't want to get surprised or what have you.
Right.
So during the ordeal, my friend was returning to the garage, and when he tried to open the door, he was, you know, what the F, you know, why is the door closed? And I was like, hold on, you know, because I didn't want him to try to come in and get caught into the situation as well.
Sure.
But as I said, we're at his house. And when I told him to hold on, don't come in your own garage.
Yeah, it's weird.
He was like, what are you talking about? And then that's when one of the guys whipped the door open and my buddy standing there with the pizza in his hand looking, and he was just shocked when he seen the situation. And the one guy told him, come in the garage. And he was like, you know, said some swear words, like, no. And he turned around, dropped the pizza, which sucks. But he started running back towards the house. And the other dude was like, stop, get in the garage, you know, and started saying some words that, you know, some people might like, not like.
Sure.
And he's like, no, F that. I'm getting my dogs. He had 3 pit bulls. Hmm. So as soon as he said, I'm getting my dogs, they took off running. And the one that was standing by the door literally ran over me, stepped on my upper back and then on my thigh to just get past me. And yeah, they were gone.
No respect at all. As my grandfather would say, it's the kids these days, you know, no respect for anything.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, for those who've never, never had to buy a or went to buy a prohibited item like this, there is a reason that smaller time criminals will target something like somewhere where people sell drugs. And you could probably figure it out before I say it, because they assume they're not going to call the police. There's not going to be any prosecution. They're going to be like, well, if I call the police and tell them my weed got stolen, then I get in trouble. We have not talked about this, have we, this part of the story? So I have to ask you, what happens next? Do you guys end up calling the police and reporting this and describing these guys, or do you just take your losses and call it a day?
Take my losses and just pray it wasn't worse. You know, there's the only thing he technically doesn't even sell weed. He smokes it, but when he does smoke, he buys it in larger amounts. Mm-hmm. So instead of me having to go find somebody else to try to buy it from, I'll just grab some of the stuff that he has for personal use, you know, and he doesn't make a profit off of anything, you know. It's just, you know, basically I'm cutting out the supplier and just getting it from a friend.
Right.
But
did your friend recognize either one of these guys in any way? Had he maybe sold to them before? How do we think they knew where to go to find?
I think it was more of they seen two chubby white dudes in a garage on the south side working on a BMW, and then, you know, they my buddy, we always hang out in the alley, so people in the neighborhood, they see us out there, they see them smoking weed all the time, and people coming by with decent cars and stuff, so maybe they just assumed it would be a good target.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they did a little surveillance at least to get an idea of where to hit next.
Right.
So after this happens, at some point between then and 2021, did you become more interested? Did this event spur you on to be more interested in self-protection after going through this?
I'd say yes and no, because at the time, like I said, I was a felon, and it just hadn't crossed my mind to pursue that. Mm-hmm. I didn't pursue any type of fighting training or anything like that. When it comes to fighting, I've never had any. Well, I shouldn't say never. There was a Gold's Gym, or not a Gold's Gym. It was a boxing gym in Causey Park on the south side of Milwaukee. I would go in there as a youngster and train in the boxing gym and stuff like that. I'm not a good fighter by any means. If there's somebody with even the littlest amount of fighting training, they'd probably beat me up, no problem.
So, but I think
I can handle my own though.
Sure. For our audio listeners who can't see you on the screen, you look like a big dude. Like, give us your dimensions roughly.
About 6'2", 275.
Okay. So I would imagine if you're anything like me, I do know how to fight. I didn't have to do it very often because I'm 6'1", 250. I think that it's just nice to be that big for no other reason, not for long term, because you're probably going to die before everybody else. But at least it keeps you out of. Have you found that to be true throughout your life, that people just don't bother?
Definitely, yeah. There is an intimidation factor to the size. I've avoided a lot of stuff. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter at all.
Right.
I've been in plenty of fights in my childhood. I grew up on the south side of Milwaukee, which is not the best of areas. But as I've gotten older, I don't like to fight. I'll avoid it all.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But if I'm put into a situation, I'm not going to ball up.
Right.
You know? But if I can get out of that situation any which way, I'm gone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best policy. So, that's what we preach on the main channel and on the badge cams all the time. Like, keep yourself out of the problem in the first place and there won't be a problem.
Right.
You know, avoid the rules of stupid, all that kind of things. So somewhere in the interim, I'm going to guess, and again, we didn't talk about this ahead of time in any detail, I'm going to guess you went through the legal process to either get your record expunged or whatever it is they call it in the state of Wisconsin to be able to restore your Second Amendment rights.
Yes.
Because walk us through how that happened.
All right. So I graduated high school early in 2004. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go into the military. Every male in my family before me has been in the military in one branch or another. So I obviously wanted to go into the military as well. And I'm still young and dumb and not realizing that the felony is going to keep me from going. So I went through the process. I went downtown, did the duck walk and all of that stuff. And I was going to get ready for my hotel room before basic. And the guy came in the room and told me that I'm a felon and I can't go. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what's the process of getting rid of that? And he said, you got to go to court.
Right.
So I didn't do it right away because I kind of lost motivation. And in 2006, I went to children's court because everything that's on my record is as a juvenile.
Okay.
So I went there, did the process that I had to get the record expunged, went to court. And the judge just must not have been having a good day that day. And he said, yeah, we'll expunge your record, but your felony is not going anywhere.
Hmm.
And I was kind of confused because it's like, well, either you expunge it or you don't, you know.
How old are you at this point when you're going through this court procedure?
19, 20. It was 2006. So, yeah, 20. I was 20 years old at this point.
He didn't feel enough time. Enough time had gone by between the time you were 14 and made a really dumb decision and then to get rid of the felony?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I guess not. So from 2006 on, I just assumed I was a felon, never tried to join the military again. And then Tony Evers, which is the governor here in Wisconsin, opened up his pardons. So he started, because for a while there, no, they weren't pardoning anybody in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, let me pursue this avenue. And this was late 20, or it was 2.5 years ago, so... late 2020, I started pursuing the avenue. There's a big stack of papers you have to fill out. You have to go around and do all your own footwork to get your whole entire criminal record, whether it's killing somebody all the way to dropping a piece of paper on the ground. You know, anything that ever come in contact with the police, you have to go get everything.
Hmm.
So I was going through this whole process and I was at children's court trying to get my records, which isn't, you can't just walk in there and ask them for it.
Right.
You know, you have to put in a request and yada, yada. And when I did finally get my records, I noticed on the folder that had my felony paperwork in it, it was stamped expunged on it. So that's when I started talking to the clerk and she was like, yeah, you're not a felon. I'm like, okay. She's like, because to backtrack a little bit, a few years prior, a buddy was at a gun range, and I was like, well, just for shits and giggles, let me try it, see if maybe something happens. So I tried to purchase a gun. I told him, I was like, I'm not going to get it. You know, I was like, I just want to see. So I paid the $50 background fee and all of that stuff, and he was like, yeah, no, you were denied. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. So the whole thing that was holding it up and the whole thing was a firearm restriction. So the judge had filed the paperwork or however that process works to remove my felony, but never sent the piece of paper to remove the firearm restriction.
Okay.
So I wasn't a felon. 2006, my felony was gone. So instead of having to fill out the entire packet for the pardon, I ended up having to fill out one piece of paper and go back to court to remove the firearm restriction.
And then were you then like immediately interested in getting a firearm, or did it take you a while?
So I was always into firearms, even though I couldn't own them. A bunch of friends and family all go shooting and hunting. I mean, it was Wisconsin, everybody hunts.
Sure.
like I said, everybody else in the family before me was military. So I was always interested in firearms. I just couldn't own one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no different. But as soon as they lifted the firearm restriction, I waited like 3 days for the paperwork to, quote unquote, clear.
Right.
I didn't know if it was going to be an instant thing or not. And the first thing I did was went straight and bought a gun.
So I have to ask, what was the first gun you bought?
So it is my 43X. It is loaded here. So, yeah, Glock 43X. This was my first one, and it is my daily carry. I don't go anywhere without it.
And are you pleased with that purchase? Is it, do you like the way it shoots and all that sort of thing? Are you good with it?
Yes. I ran a good amount of ammo through there. It's never jammed. A lot of people have misconceptions like, oh, some guns you don't have to clean. They're fine. No, keep your guns clean.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you don't necessarily have to clean it every time you put a few rounds through it, I think is the way people should look at it. But, I mean, I don't know. There's some difference of opinion, even within active assault protection on that. I just like everything that I own to be clean and neat and taken care of. So, and I don't think you can, I mean, I suppose it's possible somehow to overclean your guns. But if anyone could do it, it would be me. But I just, every time I go shoot, I just come home and I enjoy cleaning my gun. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I love it. I love breaking it down, getting it all cleaned up and oiled. And it's just a peace of mind thing for me.
Sure.
To know that regardless what happens, it's going to fire. I've never had a problem with it not firing. I actually put a couple upgrades on there. Just minor stuff, nothing crazy. Just, I'm a Glock fanboy, but a lot of the plastic pieces inside worry me.
Hmm.
So I replaced a few of the pieces with metal pieces.
Is that something you do yourself, or did you take it to like an armorer or gun shop?
No, I did it myself.
Okay. Yep. Very good. So let's go back real quick. First of all, welcome to the belated welcome to the world of firearms owners. I'm glad you're here. Let's go back to your incident real quick before we wrap this up, because I do want to talk about lessons. We, you know, John talks about the rules of stupid. You know, it's kind of like when people talk about the Dunning-Kruger principle and they talk about Mount Stupid or whatever. I don't like calling people stupid. I just don't. It's not something I like doing because I feel it turns people off a little bit. But that's just me. And I don't
have a problem calling myself stupid.
Well, that's entirely up to you. But my point being, I think the rules are really important, and they should be, I think they should be obvious to people, but they're frequently not. Just don't be in places. I would call it the rules of shouldn't, you know, don't be with people you shouldn't be with. Don't be in places you shouldn't be. And you know, for the most part, where these places are. Now, these rules do not completely indemnify you from any harm or bad stuff happening. You could be, you know, you were, you know, take the weed out of the equation and you were just hanging out with your friend working on a car. So it wasn't like you were really inviting this sort of thing. Did they target his garage at that time because he thought he'd have weed and or money? Probably. So that does kind of fall into that category. I'm speaking rhetorically. Sorry. So
right. No, definitely.
So other than you take the weed out of this equation, and there really wasn't anything stupid, or there isn't any shouldn'ts in my opinion that even applied here, because like I said, you were just doing what anybody else would be doing on a, you know, on an afternoon, hanging out with your friend, working on a car, making a pizza. Then you know, you put weed in the mix in a state where it's prohibited, so they know there's going to be, you know, weed and cash, and that does invite problems. But other than that, I don't think, it doesn't sound like you did anything wrong or you shouldn't have been doing in that moment that would cause you to you know, to for anyone to take any special interest in you other than that.
Right.
It sounds like your strategy after looking around, seeing two guns on you, one at a distance and one close, was compliance. Like, I feel like you feel like you had no other choice at that point? Like there was no way you're going to fight back and or escape. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. That's basically the way I did feel. Yeah, I did have the door leading to the backyard here, but we know criminals with firearms, they're unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I could tell that they were real firearms. It's not like they were trying to rob me with BB guns. That would have went a completely different way.
Right.
So it's one of the things where, do I risk running or trying to fight and losing my life, or just letting them have what they want to take, which comes with its own risks as well, because you don't know what their intentions are.
John will say that compliance is no guarantee of safety, and it's far from it. I got to say, you know, judging on what you told me, it kind of was your only option, unless you're a ninjutsu master, you know, Master Ken level gun takeaway. And look, reality is not like the movies. In the movies, no. You know, Jean-Claude Van Damme or what's that British guy's name? The bald guy, the transporter.
Oh God, I'm not sure.
The people are screaming. Are screaming at their phones and tablets right now.
That How guy, do you not know this guy?
I know. I'll think of it anyway. The real life isn't like that. You know, I don't care how good you are at martial arts. Like the idea that you're going to disarm one guy, you know, and then somehow take his gun and use it against the other guy or whatever. Those things aren't. That's not realistic. So right. I think compliance.
And then say.
Go ahead.
Say the situation did happen where I ended up grabbing the guy, because they were smaller guys. They were, like I said, they were skinny, late teens, early 20s. Say I did grab this guy. Well, who's to say that his gun isn't fake, but his buddy's is real, and that's why his buddy didn't come in the garage and stayed at a distance, and this guy came. So now all of a sudden I steal a fake gun and go to try to take care of the guy with the real gun. Now you're in an even worse situation.
Yeah, and having your buddy, his buddy, and his shot is not necessarily a deterrent. It's not going to stop him from pulling the trigger because he might hit his friend. No. That's not a thing. Criminals give a lot of consideration.
No, he's not thinking that at all.
Jay, I really appreciate you reaching out to come be on the show. You know, again, and I'll repeat this as many times as I have to. If it weren't for people like you, there wouldn't be a show. It would just be me talking to no one. So thank you for having the courage to reach out and tell, you know, Definitely. What's partially kind of a not the story doesn't glamorize you or make you look super, super cool or anything else. It's just a real life lesson from someone who went through it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it sucked, you know. But
especially the pizza part, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was my favorite pizza is Jack's frozen pizzas, and that's what it was. So, well, really, really sucks.
Should we have a moment of silence for the pizza? No, let's not do that.
Definitely.
Jay, again, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Mike.